Well, I want to talk today on faith, and I trust this will be an encouragement for us. And we're calling this teaching Law or Faith. Law or Faith. And I want to take this from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 9 of Galatians, chapter 3. And here the apostle labours in this book, but particularly in this chapter, that how we walk by faith, we are justified by faith, everything is appropriated by faith. And what is faith? It's simply believing. And let's take it up from verse 1. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." So he's even talking to those who were witnesses, knew at the time what had happened, God's greatest sacrifice, the giving of his lamb for the redemption of the world. He's challenging and he's saying, who's bewitching you? Who's trying to turn your attention away from this? And he goes on, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham." This is exactly as we see how God works with our faith. Our faith, which produces, of course, not only salvation, redemption, eternal life, but that our faith also produces blessings, miracles, a miraculous working God working on our behalf. And he says that if you believe in the heart, the Spirit supplies you with miracles. Because he says here in verse 5, "Therefore he who supplies the Spirit," in other words, the one who gives the Spirit, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, "the works of miracles among you." So the Spirit to you and works of miracles among you. Does he do this by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? He raises a question. He's saying he supplies the Spirit. He empowers us by the Spirit. And he says the Spirit comes to bring miracles from God. That's what it's supposed to do. And he says, how are you hearing? Are you hearing by the law or are you hearing by the Spirit, by faith? He's challenging. Jesus, in his ministry, challenged this almost every time when he preached, he taught. That's why the Pharisees, the religious people, got so uptight, so upset, because it was hid from them. They could only hear by the law, by the spirit of the letter, under Moses. They were not hearing by the Spirit, by revelation. And of course, Jesus knew this. He knew those that were and those that weren't. And in many ways, brothers and sisters, we see it today. We've seen it in our own circles. We've seen it in the assembly. were those who are not with us any longer, because there is this principle, they're hearing by the flesh, the law. They're not hearing by the Spirit that feeds the heart, that gives us that faith to believe, that quickens us. That is how, as we read there, Abraham was justified. He wasn't under the Mosaic law. The nation of Israel at that time was not in existence. He heard by faith. And that's how we do it, you see. And so this hearing by faith that produces the miracles is the answers to our prayers, our intercessions. That's how we hear. That is how we pray. And our prayers are energized, if you like, by the promises of God. Our faith is encouraged by the promises of God, which we read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So he's now quickened the word of God. He's energized it in that sense, because we now hear by the Spirit. He's quickening these promises in his word that we confess, we appropriate, we believe upon. What for? For the purpose, as we read there in verse 5, for miracles. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. That is what we should expect. That is what we should experience. And yet so many churches never do. So we raise the question, why is it that many are not experiencing the miraculous power of God at work? Because, as the title of this teaching says, they're hearing by the law. Now, when you hear by the law, it means also that you are disobedient. You have a problem with the word. You don't like all that you hear. That's also what it means. And there are many who profess themselves as Christians, but they have a problem when they read the word of God. And so if you're not settled on the word of God, you can't release that faith to believe, you see. Because the word of God under the new covenant is revelation to us. It's quickened to us by the Spirit. We've already read it there in verse 5. It's supplied. It's given to us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is present with this meeting, with this word that we're hearing? He's supplying all that we need in which to hear this, in which to experience a miraculous working God. Now, you can either believe that or just say, well, that's fantasy. That's way, way beyond all things. I believe it. I believe it. I believe this word that we receive, the faith teaching, enables me to believe, to be able to pay all my bills, all my debts, food bills, electric bills, all of which are going up and up and up all the time. But that is nothing to an overcomer when we know who our Father in heaven is. He has come to provide for all our needs. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, including the myriads of promises that we read in the word of God that he's given to us. The problem is, sadly, he's waiting on us. Isn't that sad that God waits on us? until we come to that place with that simple childlike faith to believe and trust him and not question, you see. And so our healing, our deliverance, our salvation, our wholeness to mind, body and spirit comes as we hear this word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, supplied by the Spirit for miracles. That's what he said. And this is what he came against the church at Galatia, because they were placing themselves back under the law, the curse of the law. And many are doing that. Many professing Christians go back under law, which you can never keep. Can't keep it. It has to be the enemy that gets in. And this, of course, is where doctrines of demons start to enter. And they place themselves under the law, which they can never keep. It's delusional. I'm seeing online Christians placing themselves back under the Torah. It's insanity. And you try and reason with them and talk with them, and they have an answer every time. There's no way they can keep over 400 laws to the Torah, which it is. What does that? Doctrines of demons, because they no longer hear by faith. Revelation. You see, and it was already starting to creep in into the Galatian church. He tells us that Abraham believed by faith. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So his faith gave him a standing before God, righteous, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's the blood, even before Christ came. Because in God's time, there is no time. He always has been the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that gave him a stand before God because he believed it. He didn't question it. When God called him out of Ai into a promised land, he didn't question it. He took his family with him and they went, they moved. You see, faith acted upon the promise. And then God began to unveil to him in his walk the covenant that he was making with him. Not only that, it says, but as we read in here that Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, it actually means that he was absolutely fully persuaded, influenced. He couldn't doubt. And that's what God is going to do with your faith and my faith, brothers and sisters. If we stay with us, he's bringing us to a place where we don't doubt. We can't doubt. We've gone too far. We've experienced too much of him. We've seen the miraculous, because he supplies us with his Spirit. We're fully persuaded on hearing God's promises. We hold fast to them, even though we're tested, and you are tested by them. He says, how do you hear? Here he says in verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? he raises a question, and rightly so, because they were hearing by faith originally. Some of them witness the crucifixion. And he now raises this question, how are you hearing now? Who's influencing you? You see? And that's how we've seen our brothers and sisters who've gone from this assembly. The same question. What are you hearing? Who's influencing you? Are you hearing by the Spirit or by the law? Because if you're hearing by the Spirit, you will hear the deeper life teaching. You will hear, you will know the anointing. You will know that it has your name and address on it. You will know it's God's word for you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, John 10 tells us. Did you know that the law can produce works now, but they are dead? It says in Galatians 4 and verse 9. Galatians 4 and verse 9. But know, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's what he says. He says, why is it you've been released, you've tasted, but you've gone back into bondage under the law? One could say, well, did they ever really taste in the first place? Good question. But the point is, many of them have gone back. They want to go back. That sounds very familiar, like the children of Israel, isn't it? In the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But it also implies how once we heard. And that's why you see, we are where we are today, brothers and sisters, by what we once heard. Our teaching, how God moved in our lives and brought us into Faith Assembly and their teaching for a season. Is it all absolutely perfect? No. If you think you're perfect, you try joining a church then that's perfect. You'll soon find it isn't, because we're all a work in process. But the point that I'm raising is that everything we have received and are receiving is as a result of where we are today, brothers and sisters. That's why I am so grateful for it. And I won't hear the criticisms of the past. They were just men like I am and the rest of us, going through the trials and testings. But what they did have in common, they heard by the Spirit. And that's the most important thing. And that's how we can grow and mature, by that manner from above. And so Abraham simply believed what God said, and he did it. He refused to throw away his confidence when even offering up Isaac on the altar. He was so persuaded he'd walked this walk with God, and here God was revealing and showing that he wanted his son to be offered up on the altar. He goes ahead and he does it. Why? Because he's got a faith that's persuaded, influenced. He can't doubt. He's walked too much with God. He's seen too much of the miraculous to doubt him. And brothers and sisters, this is what God is doing with us. He's working with each of us in our trials and testings, all of it. But this end result, like he worked with Abraham, where we're confident, we're influenced, we don't doubt. He didn't consider himself, his body too old, Sarah too old, to have a child. He knew God was going to do it. Let's look at it in Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 to 22, and he said, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, like most of us would, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So we see that our faith is strengthened, built upon. And that's why we stay with it, brothers and sisters. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's how he was saved. On the process of believing, convinced, he knew that God could not lie. He had made a promise. Here it is, these promises he gives to us, 2 Corinthians 1:20. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. There we are. Why is it we doubt when everything is in our favour? And it comes on the basis of believing. And as we act our faith, it is a sign we stand righteous before God. And so, as I always say, we're acting our faith. We're acting our faith right now. We're here. We're in this meeting. We're worshiping God. We're listening to his word. All clear signs that we stand right before him. We have believed not only upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but that gift of faith that he's given to us in which to build upon. That's why I keep saying that our faith is like a muscle. Our muscles have to be worked on to keep working with them, to keep them going. And so it's exactly the same with us. This is why we walk daily with God. And our walk daily with God is that we exercise our faith, our believing. Our believing that God will preserve and protect me when I go in the car. He will give his angels charge over me. Believing that he will look after my house, my property. All of these things. It's a myriad of them. That he will look after us, preserve us and keep us. And this is why we give him all the praise and all the thanks. We thank him for these things that he does. Because he likes a thankful heart. Some Christians are not being blessed as they should be because they're not very thankful. Thankfulness is a sign of graciousness. It's a sign you appreciate your Heavenly Father and his blessings and what he does and how he preserves, blesses and keeps me. You see? But these are all godly affections that God would place in our hearts if we ask him. And God will show us the things to ask for by the Spirit that he supplies to us that will help us to believe. Sometimes it just takes praise and worship, just to lift those hands before him and praise him, which is what our faith needs. Sometimes our faith requires that we get into spiritual warfare and come against the enemy. But the point is, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that leads us into all of that. Or he places on your heart a burden to maybe pray, or to pray for a brother or a sister for a season. These are the things that we should experience from Almighty God, because we've already read it to you back in Galatians 3 and particularly verse 5. He supplied the Spirit for the works of miracles. The apostles made it absolutely clear. And we should expect that. We should expect that when you get up in the morning, I am going to see and experience miracles today in Jesus' name. Expect it. Believe it. It's what he said there. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And why is that important? Because it helps you. It encourages you. It confirms to you that God is with you. And that he's hearing your prayers, intercessions. He's hearing your confession. It also gives us a testimony. It reveals to this dying world that God performs miracles around you and your life and answers your prayers, you see, for the purpose that he would be lifted up, that he would be seen, because he says with that he will draw all men to himself and also over your loved ones, your family. Again, you look each day for that day when you hear that call or you get that text message, Mum, I've given my heart to the Lord. Believe it. It's coming. It's on its way. God loves an expectant faith. And we're to believe for these things, not listen to the devil and those doubts in our minds. I commit my mind every day to the Lord. I confess I have your mind this day, dealing with those doubts, unbelief, those fiery darts, not questioning, but simply believing with that childlike faith. I just confess that because I want to hear that. That's my confession, lining up with the word of God. And brothers and sisters, you have to do that. Remind the powers of darkness that you belong to the Lord. And these promises, as I close, they cause us to wax stronger and bolder, just like Abraham. And at that right time, past their age, when it was ridiculous for them to have a family, she conceived and bore her son Isaac. They believed because they waxed stronger and bolder. That was the right time for their faith in which to glorify God. That was the right time for them to know that a miracle had been performed. And that's why I keep saying, keep staying with it, keep coming, keep listening, walk each day with the Lord, because your day is coming. Your day is coming, and when God will manifest those promises and what you're confessing and believing, they will come at that right time. And do you know why? Because you will not doubt. You have waxed bolder and stronger in the faith. And that is the right time that it will manifest for God's glory. And that's why we hold on to principles like Matthew 11, 24, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark 11:24, I should say. We hold on. We thank God. We've received it by faith in Jesus' name. It will manifest. For some, it's taking years. Others, maybe a few days. God knows. But it doesn't matter to a man or woman of faith, confessing, believing. Line your confession with what God has said in his word, because he will answer it. This is how we are saved. This is how we're justified. This is how we're giving a stand before God. Absolutely vital, because the enemy hates this. He doesn't like a saint believing, trusting God. So as we close with this, we remind ourselves again, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What are you hearing, brothers and sisters? Well, we're hearing by faith, by the Spirit, by revelation. And that's all we need. That's what he said. It's not up to me to work it out, when, how, whatever. All he wants is, thank you, Lord, it's done. I believe in Jesus' name.